If you have your Bible with you this evening, perhaps you could turn to the first epistle of Peter and to the second chapter, 1 Peter chapter 2. And as you turn to that passage of Scripture, I would like to say, and say it most sincerely, that it is a great joy and a privilege to be back again here in Greenville, to have had the opportunity of spending time with my brethren at the throne of grace this week, in the week of prayer, to renew fellowship with God's people and to make new acquaintances with others in this congregation. And we certainly have been blessed this week as we have indeed met with the Lord. And I would also like to thank the Reverend Kearns and Mrs. Kearns for their very kind and generous hospitality that they've extended to me during this past week and my stay in their home. And we trust indeed that the Lord will richly bless and continue to prosper the work of God here in Greenville. The first epistle of Peter and the second chapter. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Amen. We'll end our reading at verse 10. And God, we know, will add his blessing to this, the public reading of God's inspired and infallible word. With the word of God open before us, let us unite our hearts together in a word of prayer. And let each child of God earnestly, even now, seek the face of the Lord for the preaching of his precious word. Let us all pray. Our Father and our gracious God, we bow in thy most holy presence in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thy dear Son. And our Father, this evening already, we have learned more about the Lord Jesus As we have listened to his name and his finished work being exalted in messages and song, Lord, through the messages and song we have been brought to the cross. And loving Father, we pray that throughout the remainder of this meeting, thou would keep us at the cross. That, O Lord, our thoughts and our hearts will not stray from the cross. But Lord, we pray that tonight we might be drawn closer still to thy precious bleeding and wounded side. We thank thee, Lord, for thy word this morning that once more brought us to Calvary. And our God and Father, we pray this night for those dear souls that have never been to the cross. They know nothing of the joys of the cross, the blessings of the cross, the peace that comes through the blood of the cross. Lord, we pray that this night they might be found kneeling there at the cross and asking God to have mercy upon them and to save them from their sin. Lord, fill us now with the power of the Holy Spirit, that we might be enabled to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and make much of his precious blood. For we ask all these things in and through the name of him who is altogether lovely. Amen. The text that I would like to leave with you this evening is part of verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 2. And the opening words of that 7th verse, and Peter says, unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious. It is sometimes surprising how a single word may be able to express great intensity of feeling. Many men and women have been deeply stirred by outstanding events in their lives, and instinctively they choose the strongest adjective and even then feel that their utterances are most inadequate to describe the feeling of their hearts. Simon Peter was a man of varying moods and emotions. He had known the mountain tops as well as being plunged into the valleys of human experience. Supreme joy had been very quickly followed by abject despair in the life of Simon Peter. Yet through all the changing fortunes of his discipleship, he had known the constancy of the Lord's presence and kindness and love extended to him. And now Peter, when he comes to write his letters, and when he comes to speak about the Lord, in describing his Savior, he uses the word precious. He has already in this first letter used that word precious. In the first chapter, in verse 1 and chapter 1 and verse 7, he says, the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold. And then in 1 Peter 1 and verse 19, as it were, drawing nearer to the Savior, he there speaks about the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And then in verse 4 of the chapter we have just read, He tells us of what the Lord Jesus means to him. For he says in verse 4, to whom coming? As unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God. And then he says he's precious. The Lord Jesus Christ was precious to Simon Peter. And then as we go on down this letter and we come to verse 6. Peter there recites the words of the prophet Isaiah. And in quoting Isaiah, he says, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And so Peter has said that the blood of Christ to him is precious. And there in that verse 4 of the chapter 2, he says the person of Christ to him is precious. And then as if to lend support to his argument and to his statement, he then quotes Isaiah as if to say, see, even the prophet Isaiah says that Christ is precious. But dear child of God, if we went to the book of Isaiah, and to that verse that Simon Peter quoted in his epistle, we would find that not only did the prophet describe Christ as precious, but if we were to read Isaiah 28 and verse 16, we would see there that God the Father described Christ as precious. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, sure foundation. Peter says Christ is precious to him. Isaiah says Christ is precious. But much more than that, God the Father describes his Son as precious. He's talking about the darling of his bosom. He's talking about the one in whom he is well pleased. And the Father says, my Son, Jesus Christ, is precious. And we mere mortals will never, never, never know in time or in eternity how precious the Son is to the Father. But let us remember this, that the Son who was precious to the Father, the Son who was the darling of the Father's bosom, was one day given into the hands of cruel men. And there at the center cross of Calvary was crucified. And when man had done his worst, Isaiah tells us that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And the Father bruised the Son, whom he described as precious. And it was because of you and I. Peter says Christ is precious. Isaiah says, Christ is precious. God the Father said of His Son, He is precious. Now, Peter says, unto you therefore, which believe, He is precious. And if only we could address Simon Peter tonight, we would say to Peter, Peter, repeat those words over and over again. Peter, repeat those words 1,000 times. Jesus Christ is precious. And Peter, in humble response, we would repeat 1,000 amens. Because to those of us here tonight who believe, there is no one more precious than God's only begotten Son. And in addressing the whole congregation tonight, could I ask the question, is Jesus Christ precious to you? As we look at these words, unto you therefore which is precious. We notice first of all here that there is a people excluded. There is a people not included in these words. A people excluded. For Peter says, unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. Peter knew that to the unbeliever, Christ was not precious. The unbeliever did not see the Lord Jesus as precious. We've only to look at the example of Scripture. Peter says that the Lord Jesus was a chief cornerstone. A stone that was disallowed of men. A stone that was rejected by men. A stone that was counted as nothing by men. And to them who rejected Christ, they did not see Him as precious. I think of those who blasphemed Him. In the rejection of the Lord Jesus, men said some terrible, blasphemous things about the Son of God. Read there in the Scriptures where they described as the Son of God as being mad. They called Him a gluttonous man and a wine bibber. They crowned Him with the title Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And when they saw His works over and over again, they said, He hath a devil. Can you imagine it? The blessed Son of God being called a devil. The blessed Son of God being described as being mad. Just as men today blaspheme God's Son. Just as men today count Him as nothing. They curse His lovely name. They use that blessed name in vain. And they blaspheme Him. And let me say tonight, I wonder, is there one in this meeting? And you're unconverted. You've never known the joys of salvation. And I wonder, have you been a blasphemer in your time? In the workplace, have you blasphemed the name of Christ? In your home, in front of your children, have you taken the Lord's name in vain? Tell me, my friend, do you stand with the blasphemer? Of course, then, you don't see the Lord Jesus as precious. You don't. There was no preciousness in Christ for those who blasphemed him. Neither was there any preciousness in Christ for the one who betrayed him. Judas Iscariot, tell us, what price do you place on the Son of God? Tell us, Judas, how precious was Jesus Christ to you? Let Matthew give the answer. Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. And from that time forth, he sought opportunity to betray him. The Lord Jesus was worth no more to Judas Iscariot than a handful of silver. And oh, that opportunity came to Judas. There in Gethsemane's garden. Where earlier the Lord Jesus had agonized in prayer. And prayed out of a soul that was exceeding sorrowful even unto death. And from that place where he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, he rose up. And he went out to meet the betrayer. And there stood Judas. It didn't come as a surprise to the Son of God, because from the very beginning of time, he knew the one who would betray him. He knew there was no love in the heart of Judas for him. He knew that he was worth no more than 30 pieces of silver to Judas. He knew that Judas was going to kiss him any time and betray him. But all, listen to the words. The words of address. As the Lord Jesus stood face to face with Judas. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Friend. Even though the Lord Jesus earlier had said of Judas Iscariot, it would have been better for that man if he had never been born. Even there, as the disciples had gathered for the Last Supper with the Lord Jesus, and Judas received the sup, and the Lord Jesus said to him, Judas, what thou doest, do quickly. And the Son of God knew that in Judas's heart there was no love for him whatsoever. And yet as they stood face to face in Gethsemane's garden, the Lord Jesus still called him friend. Sold for a handful of silver, yet the Son of God still called Judas friend. betrayed by a kiss, and he still called him friend. Judas Iscariot shunned the friendship that is of greater value than the riches of 10 worlds. He thought that a love that would have loved a world of sinners lost was worth no more than 30 pieces of silver. He estimated that the one who healed the sick and raised the dead and changed lives, in his estimation, was worth no more than 30 pieces of silver. He who is the glory of heaven and the fairest of 10,000. Worth no more than a handful of silver to Judas Iscariot. To Judas Iscariot, the Lord Jesus was not precious. And let me ask you tonight, my friend, what in your life is of greater worth than Christ? Do you place a higher value upon some sinful activity in this world than you do place upon the Lord Jesus? As the drunkard would think more of his glass of whiskey on a Saturday night than he would of Christ. As the sinner would think more of a packet of 20 cigarettes than he would of Christ. Man would think more of the excitement he gets from placing a bet at the races than he does of the Lord Jesus. My friend, are you numbered with those people? If you're not saved tonight, why don't you say it in your heart? Why don't you admit it tonight? Why don't you be honest tonight? And say, the Lord Jesus means nothing to me. Because that's really what you are saying every time you reject him. You're really saying he's of no value to me at all. Lord Jesus was not precious to those who banished him. He was a rock of offense, we are told. He was the stone that was disallowed, rejected. There was no place for him in the lives of many whom he came in contact with during his ministry. Even there as a child, when God was manifest in flesh there at Bethlehem, Herod sought to banish him and slay him. And that the early part of his ministry, when he went to Nazareth, the place where he was brought up and he entered into the synagogue and preached, we're told that the people rose up and thrust him out of the city. And when he crossed over Galilee to the land of Gadara and met with legion and delivered him, and cast the demons into the swine, and the swine ran down the hillside and into the sea, the word spread throughout the land of Gadara, and all the people came to see. They didn't come to admire him. They didn't come to worship him. They didn't come to express their love for him and thankfulness to him. No. Mark 5:17, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. You see, they didn't want the same thing to happen to their herds of swine. They didn't want to see their swine running down the hillside and into the sea. They didn't want to lose their swine. They thought more of the swine than they did of the Savior. The swine was of more value to them than Christ was. And so they prayed him that he would depart out of their coasts. John 5:16, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him. And as he stood there in Pilate's judgment hall, they chanted like a wild, angry mob, "Crucify! Crucify! Crucify him! Away with him! Away with him! Away with him!" When Pilate said to them, "Which will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?" They said, "Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. And they thought more of Barabbas than they did of the Lord Jesus. Oh, can it be that they would put a greater value on the life of a common criminal than they would on the life of the Son of God? Yes, for they nailed him to the cursed tree. They put him to an open shame. They marred his visage more than any man's had ever been marred. They mocked him in his agonies. They mocked his praying from the cross. And even his garments were not sacred to them. They parted his garments among them and cast lots upon his vesture. My unsaved friend, tonight, have you banished Christ out of your life? God's servant here week after week has preached Christ, and you have said, "I will not have this man to rule over me." Then the Lord Jesus is not precious to you. You don't know how precious he is. But oh, my friend, tonight, if you would only come this very hour and fall at his feet and say, "Tonight, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me and save me," you would find the pearl of greatest price. You'd be richer than a millionaire tonight. For when you have Christ, you have everything. There is also here a personal experience. "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious." Praise God, there are those for whom the Lord Jesus is very precious indeed. They have through life experienced the preciousness of the Son of God. How precious the Lord Jesus must have been for defeated Peter. Peter, the writer of this epistle. Peter believed it, you know, when he said and recited and made those promises and vows to the Lord Jesus, Whenever he said, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. But oh, what a terrible defeat Peter suffered. There as he stood warming himself at the fires of the world, he was challenged. Peter in reply said, I know not the man. I know not the man. I know not the man. And then the cock crew. And it is recorded in Luke 22 and 61, the Lord turned and looked on Peter. And in the next verse it says, Peter went out and wept bitterly. He was a defeated man. All his good intentions were destroyed. His promises and his vows counted for nothing. His life lay in ruins. His ministry was finished. There was nothing more for him to do but to return to his old way of life. Back to the fishing. But then John 21 tells us that at the Sea of Tiberias, as Peter and six other disciples were fishing, the Lord Jesus appeared. And the first thing he said to Peter and the other disciples, children, have you any meat? Children. Peter was still a child of God. He was still a child of God, even after all he had done. Even after the broken vows and the promises, his Lord and Savior still loved him. And then he said to Peter and the others, come and dine. Peter, I still want you beside me. Peter, I want you to sit beside me. I want you to have fellowship with me. Then after they'd eaten, he said to Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Simon Peter, lovest thou me? And each time Peter said, yea, I love thee. Until that third and final inquiry, Simon Peter replied, Lord, thou knowest all things. And Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. I love thee more than all these. I love thee above my brethren. I love thee more than my ships and my nets. Lord, I love thee more than anyone else. I've never loved anyone else, Lord, more than thee. How precious the Son of God must have been to Peter that day at the Sea of Tiberias. When in spite of all he had done, the Lord loved him and said, Simon, feed my lambs and feed my sheep. No, his ministry wasn't finished. Maybe there's somebody here tonight. You're a backslider. And you used to love the Lord with all of your heart. But then other things came in. You've been standing with the world. And you've denied the Lord time and time and time again. You've heard the world blaspheme his name and you've stood silent. Ashamed of Christ. Embarrassed to be associated with Christ. And the devil has told you you're finished. The devil has told you you're finished. I tell you, my friend, if you're truly born again, praise the Lord's name, you're not finished. For he still calls you his child. And he says to you tonight, come and dine. And the preciousness of Christ that you once experienced can again live in your heart. And you'll love the Lord Jesus from this night on more than you've ever loved him before. He was precious to the defeated Peter. He was precious to that delivered woman that we read about there in the 7th chapter of the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. And there we read of the day the Lord Jesus had been invited into the home of Simon the Pharisee. And in Luke chapter 7, we read in verse 37, and behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears. And did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. And later on in the chapter, in verse 44, the Lord said, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. In verse 45, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. And this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. And let us remember that the one who stood at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ that day was a branded woman. She was a scarlet woman. She was a woman of the streets, a sinner. And there she stood weeping. At the feet of the Lord Jesus. She didn't speak a word. Not one word is recorded as coming from this woman's lips. She couldn't speak a word. Her heart was so full and welled up with emotion that not a word could she speak, but her tears said it all. What did she have to bring to Christ? What did she have that would recommend her to Christ? Nothing, nothing, nothing. that perhaps what she could call her glory was her hair. And she left that at the feet of Jesus. And she stood there, a broken woman. And she wept a fountain of tears, so much so she was able to wash the Master's feet. And the old hard-hearted Pharisee couldn't see beyond this prejudice and hatred. And he criticized the woman, and he criticized Christ for having anything to do with the woman of the streets. But then the Lord gave him his answer. For he says in verse 47, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." Why did you love the Lord so much? Because the Lord had forgiven so much. And the Lord Jesus was the most precious, precious person to her on the face of God's earth. Every tear she shed, every drop of ointment which found its way onto Christ was bathed in love. She could easily have said, with the bride in the Song of Solomon, chapter 3 and verse 4, "I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go." She didn't want to let the Savior go. Tell me, believer, tonight, do you love the Lord like that? How precious is the Son of God to you? And he was precious to desolate Paul. Paul the Apostle. Paul, who said in Philippians 3 and verse 7, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel," was counted as nothing to Paul. "Of the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee," meant nothing to Paul, because Christ meant everything to him. These other things were not precious. He counted them as dung. Christ was precious. Christ was precious. Christ was precious. And Paul knew and experienced the preciousness of Christ over and over and over again in his life. But perhaps never more so than in his dying hours. For there you have the desolate Paul. For we read about him in 2 Timothy in chapter 4. And he's writing to Timothy, his son in the faith. And he says to Timothy, Timothy, do thy diligence to come before winter. He knew he hadn't long to live. He says, the time of my departure is at hand. And then he says to Timothy in verse 13, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. Paul lay there in a prison cell at Rome. It was no more than a hole in the ground. And now he hadn't even a cloak to put around his shoulders. He had nothing. You could see Paul there, forlorn. You see Paul there, forsaken. Because Paul says, for Demas hath forsaken me in verse 10. In verse 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Forlorn, forsaken, and in many respects forgotten. For Paul, there were no church visits. No friends. Nobody to care for him. Nobody to love him. And he's alone. And he's naked. And he's forgotten and he's forsaken. He's forgotten of all. Forgotten of all but Christ. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Then he says in verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. The Lord stood with me. In those lonely hours, how precious the Lord Jesus must have been to Paul. That word forsaken is the same word that's used by the Lord Jesus when he cried from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The word means to be abandoned, means to be let down in. And Paul, in many ways, has been abandoned, forsaken. But the Lord stood with him. Tell me, my friend, tonight, do you know him? Have you proved him to be that friend that sticketh closer than a brother? Have you proved the preciousness of Christ in your loneliest hours, when you felt like David felt when he said he was alone, as a bird, as a sparrow on the housetop? Have you proved the preciousness of the Son of God? Do you know him tonight? I would ask you this evening, if you know him not, that you would come this very hour and make the Lord your final choice. If you're a backslider tonight and you've been like Peter, following afar off, and your heart's cold, and you've fallen in love with the world, I would ask you tonight to come back again. I would ask you this evening to come home. And once again, experience in your soul and in your heart the preciousness of Christ. There's a person exalted there. For Peter says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Will you not come to him tonight? And we who know him, let us ask the Lord to give us a greater love for him. A love that will say, when I find him, I will hold him and never let him go. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Maybe God has spoken to your heart this evening. You're in this gathering tonight and you're not saved. The Lord Jesus means nothing to you. But God has spoken to your heart. Will you not come then? As the Spirit of God speaks to you, will you not come now? Leave your sin. Leave the swine troughs of the world and come tonight and sit down at the King's table. You're a backslider and you know it. That love that once burned bright in your heart for the Son of God has almost disappeared. But God has spoken to your heart. Will you not come now and return to the Father's house? And what rejoicing there'll be in heaven. But what gladness there'll be in your heart. And the Lord Jesus to you will be more precious tonight than he ever was before. If I can be of any help or assistance, or Dr. Cairns or any of the other ministers here, will you have a word with us after the meeting and come tonight and experience through the new birth the preciousness of the Lord Jesus. Our God and our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee again for thy Son, the chief cornerstone, the foundation of the Church of Jesus Christ, that precious stone, elect, chosen, and tried. O Lord, may others this night know something of the preciousness of the Son of God. O God, answer prayer for thy great name's sake. Amen.